So that was, do you know how to pronounce that guy's name? Dan Lutsko singing "I Want to Be at the RNC."
Nick
It's a
Lutsko.
pretty funny video.
It looks like he's a part of College Humor.
Yeah. Well, we'll put that in the show notes, the tweet for it, because everybody needs to watch it. It's hilarious. Breaking news, kind of breaking news, but on Twitter right now, they are saying that Rand Paul was attacked as he was going back to his hotel from the party nomination that took place at the White House with for Donald Trump tonight, because Donald Trump gave his speech at the White House, and it was everything that you would expect a Donald Trump speech to be during the COVID era. Did you watch any of it?
I completely skipped out on the Trump part because I just hate. I can't stand listening to him at
Yeah.
this point. It's just mind-numbing.
I know most of my friends and everybody, I talked to felt the same way. I went in and out of it periodically. I would listen to him. He's kind of gone back to his populist message, but he did make it, his speech was significantly longer than Biden's speech. I'm pretty sure that that's a dig at Biden for say that Trump has the stamina to be the world leader and all that. But the thing that was concerning to me was the crowd that was watching Donald Trump speak. No masks, no social distancing, everybody crowded around just like nothing's happening. And of course, Rand Paul, who was exposed, was there. I'm watching the video right now of him being confronted by protesters. He was at least wearing a mask. He and his wife are wearing a mask. But the narrative that's being framed is that he was attacked by protesters, and the video shows that he really wasn't. He was being yelled at, being jeered, and all that, but there was not a single hand landed on him from the video that I'm seeing.
Oh yeah, if someone actually like even poked him, what the fuck? The police and the Secret Service would come down like a fucking hammer on whoever did that, and they'd probably be dead, to be honest, or at least thrown in Guantanamo Bay or some shit. We would have actually heard a real narrative if Paul or anyone was actually attacked. But this is the sympathetic crybaby horseshit that conservatives love to do.
And on that note of just like it kind of just being, you, how do I put it, being kind of almost choreographed, staged. Like, why is Rand Paul staying at a hotel that he has to walk on foot from the White House through the protests?
It could be. I mean, it's,
I don't want to
it's
sound
really
too
good
tinfoil
privacy,
hat there,
right?
but
Yeah,
it just felt too convenient.
I mean, there were a lot of people at the DC protest tonight. A lot. I think my favorite, like, s just snapshot I saw was basically when Trump was done with his official acceptance of being president speech, or the nomination, there were fireworks going off, and of course some of them spelled out Trump and 2020, which is worrisome in itself. We'll touch on that a little bit
He
later.
also played Leonard Cohen's "Hallelujah."
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
Kill me.
I miss that part. I love Leonard Cohen. I doubt Leonard Cohen would have signed off on Trump playing "Hallelujah."
Yeah, that's highly doubtful.
And "Hallelujah" is kind of a haunting song. I don't think they knew what I don't think it fit any kind of narrative, period.
Yeah, but I mean, it had Hallelujah in it, so that's all that
Yeah, so that was good enough. That was good enough. It's like,
good enough.
yeah, Republicans playing "Born in the USA" without really listening to the lyrics of "Born in the USA" from Bruce Springsteen, which, yeah. is critical of. Yeah,
you would think.
Yeah. But let's talk about some COVID news.
Yeah. There's some interesting developments. So it's 5.8 million cases in America and 180,000 deaths. And that was part of the snapshot. So basically there were fireworks in the background with, you could see the Washington Monument. And then on the road, there were protesters holding up signs saying Trump failed, 180,000 dead. So I think that just like shows the dichotomy that America is in. Like, that's a really good example. But so we talked before about how the numbers are becoming kind of hard to trust now. I mean, they've always been hard to trust, but
extra hard to trust these days.
Yeah. And even off by a factor, multiple factors, like up to 20 potentially. But there was a new change with the CDC's policy, which is really worrisome. And it came because of basically pressure from the Trump administration. And this happened conveniently while Anthony Fauci was under anesthesia, undergoing a surgery. I couldn't find out what surgery.
He was under surgery. I can't find it either.
Yeah. No one really said what it was, but he's out of it now. And he said he wasn't consulted about the meeting they had about this, new policy.
No, of course not.
Of course not. Cause Fauci is like one of the old few voices of reason. But so the CDC changed their testing guidelines from recommending that you test anyone who has come into contact with COVID. That's been changed to basically saying asymptomatic people may not need to get tested, even if they've been in contact with someone infected, unless they were in contact with that person for more than 15 minutes, which, viruses don't give a shit about 15 minutes. It can be instant.
Yeah.
So it's going to be even more. Our testing was already, being downplayed. Now it's just going to be more suppressed. So yeah. Who knows?
And on another note, I posted this a couple of days on my Twitter, that scientists are now have reasonable belief that COVID is aerosol. Like, it is airborne, like the measles are airborne.
Oh, wow.
So, not only does that not fucking matter if you're in there for 15 minutes next to somebody for 15 minutes, but if this is correct, it's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in, like, if you're in, like, poorly ventilated spaces and next to people all the time, you're going to get it. Yeah. Like, especially if you're not wearing a mask. And then another thing on the note of that is the CDC is now telling retailers and, places where customers go not to enforce the masks, not to enforce their mask mandates. You can put it on there, but they're telling you not to be confrontational with them. They're telling you just to let it go.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, choice, I guess. Yeah. The conservatives have been crying for.
Right. Like, if you've paid attention to anything that conservatives have been saying over the last week, and we'll get into what's going on in Wisconsin briefly, but the entire narrative of, they keep on screaming, well, you need to listen to authority. You need to listen to authority. These bad things wouldn't happen if you would just listen. But heaven forbid they're told to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. Especially even after Trump says, hey, wearing a mask is a good thing. It's even a patriotic thing.
Yeah.
Even then, they can't be fucking bothered.
Yeah, they can't. It's not worth it.
Yeah. But on the note of enclosed spaces, the airline industry is probably going to get another big bailout one way or another. So American Airlines let go of just over 17,000 frontline workers and 1,500 management people. They will get rid of them in October because of the slump in travel, because of the virus. And the White House is basically saying, basically telling Congress, if you don't give the airline industry another $25 million in this next stimulus package, whenever the fuck it's going to pass, then the White House is going to, you know, take action on their own, on its own. And it's that stimulus bill that was supposed to be, you know, a hot priority right after the 4th of July when Congress got on break. Yeah, there's still no telling when. Or
yeah, still no. We still don't have a fucking clue when that's coming.
Yeah, Pelosi, apparently the latest update is Pelosi and Mark Meadows, who is now a chief of staff, had a 25-minute phone call, and apparently they are at a quote-unquote tragic impasse.
Not jack shit's gonna get done.
Yeah, it's already been 4 months since they've been talking about this shit and doing political theater over it. It's not gonna happen.
No.
If it does, it might be after the election.
Or right before it. I could see checks rolling out in October and that being a way of, you know, drumming up support for Trump.
Yeah, for sure.
Conveniently timed is they'll drag it out. People will get more desperate, and he'd be like, "See, I got you the money,
twice, not twice." Just once.
And I've always gone by that if he just did temporary UBI or temporary Medicare for all, he fucking crushes Biden. He wins easily. If they just do temporary UBI, he wins. Even if it's just two checks and then they end right after the election, he wins. Unfortunately, the next part of the news before we get to the convention, originally this episode was going to be solely about the convention, just like last week was primarily about the Democratic convention, but news, this country, news is crazy, and, We need to talk about what's going on in Wisconsin.
Yeah, some shit just exploded over the weekend. Yeah. And it's almost 2.0.
Yeah. So on Sunday, a man by the name of Jacob Blake was, the cops were called for a domestic incident. I still don't have the full story about what's going on, of how Jacob Blake, I've heard neighbors say, he was trying to break up a fight. The cops came there. Somehow during that, there was a confrontation with the cops, and he walks away and he tries to enter his car. And when he enters his car, he is shot 7 times. 7 rounds are fired at Blake while his children are in the vehicle, in the back of the vehicle.
And while his back was turned to the cops.
And while his back was turned. So we've already just like I the minute it happened I knew that I was like it's about to go off again, and so far it has. And like as of today, Jacob Blake is handcuffed to his bed. I'm not sure if you saw that, but he is handcuffed to his bed. He's handcuffed to his bed after he was shot in the back 7 times. And by the way, he's paralyzed from the waist down. He's paralyzed.
Yep.
And they handcuffed a paralyzed man to his bed after loading 7 bullets in his back. Now, protests started taking place that night, and they've continued to go. And there has been fires, there has been looting, and with that has come the right wing, the protectors of property, as they put it, the protectors of a people's livelihoods, even though one of the car dealerships, which was one of the big signs of getting burned down, the owner was just like, yeah, I've lost a lot of money here, but if it gets justice, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
They are there to protect property now. And that leads us to the next part of what's going on in Wisconsin. Two nights ago, a young man killed 2 people and wounded another. His name is Kyle Rittenhouse. I don't know how much digging you've done on him or what you've seen on social media, but he was not from Kinshaw. He was from Illinois, out of state, and he drove there with an AR-15. And yeah, he confronted what we assume is a protester at a gas station. And the videos are graphic. I've watched them. They're not for the faint of heart, in my opinion. But the first video is of him on the phone saying, "I shot someone," and he runs away. And you see people run to the person that's been shot, and there's a hole in his head. And we get another video where people are chasing after Kyle Rittenhouse, screaming, "He shot somebody, he shot somebody, he shot somebody." Kyle trips, and a couple of protesters, one hits him in the head with a skateboard, and another one kind of kicks at him, and he manages to grab his rifle and shoot two more people. And he shoots these people. He gets up and he puts one of his hands up and he walks. He just casually strolls to where the cops are, to where all the flashing lights are. And then they don't even pat him down. They don't pat him down whatsoever. And he leaves the town. He leaves the town and goes back to his state, his home state. And he's arrested the next day, yes. And the excuse I've heard was that they were too busy trying to respond to the initial call.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't make sense to me. There's a video that comes out of earlier in the night. He's asking police officers for water, and they say, "We appreciate what you're doing." And then this is the thing, is this has been turned into that he's a patriot by the right. He has killed two people and injured one. The two people he's killed is Anthony Huber, who's only 26, I believe, who leaves behind a partner and a stepdaughter. And the other one, the person that he shot in the head that started all this, Joseph Rosenbaum, leaves behind a 2-year-old. And this is and there's already just been so many things about the victims of this crime, of these people that were shot. And they're just like Anthony Huber has a domestic violence incident. Joseph Rosenbaum is supposedly had sex with a minor. And even if I go off that, because I'm aware of just like how easy it is to edit things on the internet, and maybe these things are true, but that doesn't give Kyle Rittenhouse the reason to execute anybody.
No. Vigilante justice.
And I don't know. I don't have the full story. Like, I see the story unfolding of how Anthony Huber was shot. Was Kyle was running away, he tripped, and the protesters tried to grab the gun and get it away from him. I don't have the full story on what happened to Joseph Rosenbaum. I'm sure that will come out in the coming days, weeks, whenever. It may not come out at all because, like, I think about Garrett Foster in Austin, Texas, and the fact that Daniel Perry, the person that killed him, is still out and around.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's basically what's going on there. And today, he got a lawyer. And I'm going to read some of the stuff. This is from the New York Post. The lawyer for Kyle Rittenhouse, the teenage vigilante accused of killing two Black Lives Matter protesters, issued a statement Thursday demanding justice for Kyle. Thank you all freedom-loving Americans who responded to requests for contact info on Kyle Rittenhouse, attorney L. Lynn Wood, who said he will be working with the firm Pierce Bainbridge. We have connected with Kyle's family, and help is on the way. Kyle will have excellent legal representation. We owe him a legal defense, Wood wrote, closing the letter. We will obtain justice for Kyle. Now, who is L. Lynn Wood? Well, L. Lynn Wood is a lawyer that represented Richard Jewell during the Olympic Atlanta bombing. He represented Nick Sandman, or however you pronounce his name, the boy that wore the MAGA hat that, you know, smugly smiled at the elder chief and sued the Washington Post and got a fuck ton of money for it. This is no slouch lawyer, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And he's from Atlanta, which is interesting. But I mean, if he's that high profile, then his location doesn't really matter. But he's also a QAnon person too.
Yeah, he has that one of those little tags in his Twitter bio now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much wrong with this. I was just watching live streams of like the first part of the Kenosha riots, and I haven't seen any footage of anything after the whole Kyle thing happened, but there was one particular gas station that these freedom loving militia people were protecting. Mm-hmm. From riots or whatever, and you know, they have their rifles, they have their don't tread on me patches and all that LARPy bullshit. So I would bet you that's the one gas station that this happened at. Some other pictures of Kyle's profile, I don't know if it was like Facebook or something, but has a bunch of all lives not all lives blue lives matter pictures. He's got, you know, gun-toting picture. He's got a picture of him dressed up as a police officer standing next to his mom. Like, I guess that was his Halloween costume or some shit.
I believe he was part of a young cadet program. Kind of like an ROTC, a JROTC for police officers.
I gotcha. And again, this kid is 17 years old. And he's doing this shit. So, yeah, this is really just beyond words for me. And it's just like the fact that like the lawyer is now putting, you know, QAnon fucking hashtags in his bio.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it just like tops it all off. I really just don't have anything else to say. Like, if it wasn't already clear that QAnon is a violent cult that doesn't give a fuck about like freedom or anything,
yeah,
or the rule of law, then you know, if this doesn't convince anyone, then nothing will. They're so brainwashed at this point. There's no getting to them anymore.
No, I agree. There's no getting back. There's no getting them. There's no reaching out to them. There's so many that have, been like compromised by it, like morally and mentally compromised. And we're seeing so much of this, especially on right wing Twitter and libertarian and like, you know, MAGA Twitter and libertarian Twitter, of them lauding Kyle as a hero.
Yep.
That, you know, he defended himself. It was self-defense. Cool. You can make somewhat of an argument about self-defense to a degree on the two protesters that he shot when he was being chased down. He was scared. He panicked. He freaked out. He pulled the trigger. But I don't understand how you can make a self-defense case when a 17-year-old loads his AR-15 into a car and drives to a different state and then murders somebody in a gas station parking lot. Like, even at the most, you can, like, I don't understand the self-defense argument. I just don't. Because there's just, like, there's no way he went in there thinking, everything's going to be peaceful. No, he went in there with trouble, hoping for trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's exactly the kind of thing that happened with so many Black Lives Matter movements that turned into rioting because it just shit got out of control real quick, just like it did in Kenosha. You have these militia dudes, they just show up there looking for trouble, looking for an excuse to just kill someone.
Yeah.
And the fact that this came from a 17-year-old kid is just, like, horrific.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a 17-year-old that did this. This is not some middle-aged militia, you know, Turner Diary reading. You know, maybe Kyle Rittenhouse did read something like the Turner Diaries. I don't know. But this is a person that's not even an adult yet. He shouldn't have owned the gun. There's no way he owned that gun.
Yeah.
Had to be given to him by somebody. And maybe that comes out in the coming days. I don't know. It's just, however it is, there is, like, so many things here for this self-defense argument that's easily where you can pop that bubble that it just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are going to see more of these things. Like I said, when Garrett Foster, you know, was murdered, I've said it for a while, we are going to see more people, unfortunately, get shot, harmed, murdered by this, because that's where we are. That's what happens when you have an entire side that dehumanizes anybody that doesn't share their worldview. And there's very many ways of dehumanizing, of whether they're calling them commies or whether they're calling them, you know, libtards, which I hate using that word, but they find all sorts of ways to, you know, dehumanize. And it's a lot easier to pull the trigger on somebody when you don't view them as human.
It really is. And I really think, unless you have any other, like, big points, I think that's actually a really good transition into talking about the RNC convention. Because, so there were four nights of it, and as of the night of recording, this was the last night. And Ben Carson, who I don't know too much about, but he's one of the token Black people that, you know, the Republicans like to pull out. There was a lot of them. I was surprised. But his opening little segment, speech to his segment, basically, so I'll read you the quote. And he was talking about Kenosha. I'd like to say that our hearts go out to the Blake family and the other families who have been impacted by the tragic events in Kenosha. As Jacob's mother has urged the country, let's use our hearts, our love, and our intelligence to work together to show the rest of the world how humans are supposed to treat each other. America is great when we behave greatly. And then he goes on to say, necessary change, and this is what gets me, necessary change comes through hope and love, not senseless and destructive violence. And then, of course, in Republican fashion, they go on to say how they're the party of Lincoln. So he did some Lincoln quotes. And, you know,
yeah.
It just devolved into typical conservative crap after that. But
and like anytime you're just like, hey, your party's kind of racist, they pull out the Black conservative and quote Lincoln.
Yep, exactly. And they covered every angle, by the way, with the Black token Black people.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second, but like, I just the dehumanize. I think the dehumanization is like a huge theme of of this year's RNC in general, but this in particular, this specific like addressing of what's going on in Kenosha is just like America is great when we behave greatly. Like it's just tying everything into this fake patriotism. And at the same time, it's what is the word that I'm looking for? Pacifying. It's pacifying everything that, you know, these fucking protesters, and there are riots, don't get me wrong, people are pissed and they have every right to be, but it's pacifying to say, you know, we just need hope and love to change the world, and, you know, not senseless and destructive. Like, if you're gonna actually condemn senseless and destructive violence, condemn fucking Kyle Rittenhouse. What the fuck are you talking about? You're worried about some cars blowing up in a car dealership or in a church parking lot? You're really worried about that? Or the dumpster that set on fire in the middle of the road? You're more worried about that property than you are about the lives lost. And then you're going to defend the person who killed. Like, I don't know. I can't. I'm going to go off on this. And I'm going to ramble incoherently. It's just like, it's hilarious to me that they're pulling the, what's supposed to be like kind of the Democrat approach, really, where, you know, let's just all get along, sing kumbaya, and send our hearts and, you know, love and our prayers, you know, prayers and thoughts. And this is coming from the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're so good at controlling the narrative.
They own the narrative. We just need to call it what it is. They own the fucking narrative on everything. Like, the number one thing that people say, the reason why we should reelect Trump is the economy. The economy, the economy, the economy, the economy. The thing is, he's blown a hole in the deficit. His tax cuts, as Paul Ryan put it, one of my favorite things from this era, was a constituent said, thank you for the extra $50 a year so I could afford a Costco membership. Think about that. That's all somebody got from these tax cuts, was enough money to pay for a Costco membership.
To buy a membership card?
To buy a membership at Costco. Yeah, where you could spend more fucking money. And don't get me wrong, not shitting on Costco's. Love Costco's. But That's the thing is, somehow the Democrats, like, they had some leeway right here of saying, well, you know, Obama kind of created, you know, gave the stepping stones for that economy. And I think the Obama economy was fucking utter shit because economic inequality fucking skyrocketed under Obama. But they can't even control the narrative on that. That's the reason why Trump is fighting so hard, is he's like, I had the best economy the world has ever seen. And all he really did was inherit an economy that was pretty fucking stable and just gut taxes so much where the rich were just like, well, let's just invest and stock buyback and inflate the prices even fucking higher. And they called it the most robust economy when the stock market was making record highs.
Mm-hmm. But it only, of course, served the fucking rich.
Yeah, served the rich. That's
how all that works.
But what I'm saying is they can't even control the narrative. Like, Democrats cede every single narrative point that they could use against Trump. And Republicans just fucking master it. They masterclass.
Yeah. It's such a weird dichotomy because the Republicans are so good at doing this, and then the Democrats just like don't even try.
Yeah,
like,
they don't even try.
They like, it's like, I don't even know. But I mean, if you play video games, it's just like a fucking grandmaster player going against like a bronze ranked player.
Yeah.
Like, there is no contest. They don't even.
There is no contest. They fucking crush them. They absolutely fucking crush them. And I love the favorite part of what liberals tell, like, people on the left all the time. It's just like, it's all about messaging. like when we were saying abolish the police. They were just like, it's all about messaging. How about we say reform the police? Reform the police.
Oh, and yeah, I'm for real change. Then all of a sudden they get fucking tone
police on you. Yeah, they tone police you and they say, hey, it's about the message. You can't have Medicare for all because it scares people. It's messaging. And if they're so goddamn good at fucking messaging, why do they fucking lose all the time?
Yeah.
Like,
their convention looked like it was made in everyone's home basement, which it was. And then the RNC has this huge fucking production value.
Yeah.
Even without like a giant audience.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's what's killing me about this is it's just like, after November, if Trump does win and the Democratic Party and anybody that says that the Democrats need to talk about messaging needs to take a hard fucking look and realize that they really suck at it. And maybe it's time to listen to other people.
Just maybe.
They won't.
Maybe take some criticism, but yeah, they won't.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And it's this is like the scary part of because the Republicans are so that they just control the messaging. They've used all four nights of the RNC to basically just push like watered down fascist propaganda, like straight up. Just all the fucking dog whistles and all of the fucking, you know, of course, traditional conservative talking points about, oh, I'm a small business owner and I love Trump, or this is the land where I can do anything because, you know, family values and shit. But then there's all of this. Like, I'll just go over a couple. It basically quotes Charlie Kirk on the opening night. He was the first one to talk, or maybe the second, whatever. He said, Trump is the bodyguard of Western civilization, which is a straight up fascist dog whistle. There's another, someone else said, unions are subverting our republic. And there was this sentiment of like nice guys don't care about America. Like you have to be a tough guy to really get the job done. And you know, people, you got to be rough and rugged and all this shit. There was an they equated universal healthcare with opiates and euthanasia. Like, yeah, this is exactly what Medicare for All was.
Yeah. Medicare for All was like, I remember she was just like, and They're gonna give you weed and opiates and not let you die with dignity. And I was just like, you know what? If I can get legal weed from it, you know what? Just take it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh God. And of course there's this, you know, fear of internet censorship against specifically and only exclusively against conservatives. So
yeah, heaven forbid.
Yeah,
that I'm fucking shadow banned and you know, get never mind, but you get what I'm saying. It's like me and so many other people on leftist Twitter, you know, get constantly, you know, our accounts especially suspended or, you know, restricted and stuff like that constantly.
Yeah, but it's only the conservatives that get that treatment. You know, that's, you're just imagining it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a big call of that, and then like something about like, I didn't really catch it because this guy was like a rambler, but something about like creating and embracing like a new town square, and then like a call to arms to be radical about defending America.
Mm-hmm.
Another dog whistle. And then there's this, there's at least one person, but I think there was multiple people trying to claim that like Trump didn't say that there were fine people on both sides in regards to the Charlottesville shit.
There's so many videos of that.
Oh my God. It's like indisputable. Like
so many videos of him saying that.
Yeah. But you know, they can just ignore reality whenever they want to. Oh, by the way, that was one of their token black people that tried to say that. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Scavino said that Trump can't be bought, which is laughable because he's a absolutely failed businessman of how I don't know how many decades. So he has to be bought out even by his parents. They have to give him money to keep his fucking crumbling family business running. And he still has to siphon federal tax dollars just to keep his his business running and his fucking Trump resorts overseas, which have been like net negative for how God knows
for years.
And then, of course, you know, typical conservative fashion, there's a lot of fear mongering about the Red Scare, about BLM and Antifa, specifically ruining your precious like upper middle class white suburbs and neighborhoods. And they're just going to tear, you know, low quality apartments. Oh, who were those? That couple. They were on night one. The couple that had
The McCloskeys, I believe.
Yeah, the McCloskeys. Yeah, they ranted on about this too. She was particularly worried about quote unquote low quality apartments constructed near white suburbs, basically. Like, you know, again.
Yeah, there was so much. Like the parts I caught, there was so much dog whistles, so much blatant racism of just being like, that's his suburban strategy, is scare the suburban people enough to be like, the minorities are coming.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, vote for me. Only I can solve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's really no telling how much of this was there. Because here's how I watched it. I sped it up on 2x speed. And I legitimately watched the first hour of night one. And at that point, I was so fucking bored out of my mind that I just started skipping through and looking for, you know, the names of who's talking, listen to the first couple seconds of their opening, and then just like skip forward like 15, 20 seconds at a time and just catch sound bites like that. And I was able to catch so many fucking dog whistles like that. I don't know what I missed. But it doesn't matter because, like, conservative narrative is designed to be so repetitive that you can just tune in at any, like, 30-second marker and come away with the same message as if you turned in, like, 15 minutes later, still talked about the same thing, just in a different way and appealing to a different crowd about it. I don't know. But I guess Trump, you know, himself is, all of his other speakers took care of the, you know, anti-leftist sentiment and shit, but Trump himself, like kind of what you were saying earlier, is doubling down on the patriot movement, the military, the nationalism, not so much about like the Red Scare anymore. But going back to, he's going to wipe out ISIS once and for all, even though they said multiple times that ISIS is gone, so we don't have to worry about it anymore, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the Schrodinger's threat, you know, simultaneously it's an existential threat to America, but Trump took care of it like a year ago. So I don't know. I don't know which it is anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my takeaways from the RNC.
Yeah, my takeaways is it's just like, let me check something. They said that the Democrats' ratings were the worst, were like worst.
Mm.
Now, this is interesting, and this is just random.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what this says, because at the end of the day, TV ratings are fucking votes. But according to the Daily Beast, RNC ratings down significantly compared to night one of the DNC. Now, the DNC's ratings were already pretty much garbage compared to 2016, which is weird considering that most of us are staying at home these days.
Yeah.
Right. And there's not much TV going on because there's no new things being filmed.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say? It's the ratings are down after night one of the RNC?
No, compared to RNC ratings down significantly compared to night one of the DNC. I'll just read bits of it.
Oh, compared. Okay.
Television ratings for the first night of the Democratic Convention down about 25% from the equivalent night of 4 years earlier. The RNC's first night ratings, which include speeches from Donald Trump and Senator Tim Scott, were even worse. According to Nielsen, total viewership from night one of the RNC was 15.8 million. That represents about a 15% drop from the first night of the DNC featuring former First Lady Michelle Obama, which drew 18.7 million viewers across all three major networks and the three major cable networks. The first night of the RNC dropped about 28% for the same night in 2016.
Damn.
So, despite the Zazzy production value that you were talking about earlier, apparently, I mean, they didn't do so well. I'm sure more ratings will come out in the coming days, and I'm sure that there might be a little bit of a boost because the MAGA people love them some Trump. But we will see.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I thought they would be better. Like, I thought that the cult of personality of Trump would, you know, propel it to be higher than the DNC ratings.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll say it's fake news.
Oh, like 100%. And then Trump's still going to boast about his numbers and how they're the biggest and the best. Better than anyone's numbers. I don't know. So I guess that about wraps it up for the major party conventions. We're going to have, well, I don't know, maybe we might have presidential debates. I think at the end of September it was. Around the end. We'll see if that happens. Oh, that reminds me. I don't know if you saw that, but Trump challenged Biden to take a drug test.
Yeah.
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 So that's really interesting coming from the person who snorts fucking Adderall.
Yeah.
You know, and has to wear an adult diaper because he can't control his bowel movements.
Yeah. And everybody's saying, yeah. Like, maybe they've heard, like, some of us joking on Twitter saying that Joe Biden, you know, has to be doing some sort of, like, nitrates or something to get really lucid before the debates. I, like, that's just so out of fucking left field. I feel like the right takes any argument that the far left makes and kind of makes it their own, because we were the first ones to be like, yo, Joe Biden's got dementia.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they're reappropriating our fucking rhetoric. It just takes them a couple months, but they'll do it eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really amusing.
Yeah, it's fucking entertaining. Please, please take drug tests, both of you.
Oh, I would love to see that. Yeah, so, I don't know. Okay, I guess moving on to QAnon, just to kind of wrap things up. There's actually some big fucking news about QAnon, which is hilarious. I guess I'll go in like reverse order with the notes because it kind of relates to the convention a little bit. So at Mike Pence's speech, I think it was like the third night, whatever stage he was on, there were basically 17 flags on either side of the stage, and 17, Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet, so it's a big nod to them. So, you know, gotta acknowledge their existence. But not too much, because Marianne Mendoza, who has been pushing for, I don't know the details of what she's been doing, but she's pushed this for immigration reform, and she's met with Trump in the past. There's photos of them together. She was supposed to speak at the RNC on one of the nights, but she retweeted a thread which was full of various conspiracy theories. I think one of them related to like the truth about what happened to the Titanic, if I can say that properly. But the first The first tweet in the thread was titled, "The Protocols of the Elders of Zion is not a fabrication, and it is certainly not anti-Semitic to point out this fact." And for anyone who doesn't know, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion was some, I think it was like a play or some document written like early 1900s. And it was a satire, you know, talking about the Jewish conspiracy, basically. But some people, like Henry Ford, took that really seriously, and they actually believed in it. And so that's where, you know, it's one theory of where the anti-Semitism came from with Henry Ford, and why he was so buddy-buddy with Adolf Hitler. But anyways, so she retweeted this thread, and of course, some of those tweets had some QAnon hashtags in it. So when, and she retweeted this like a couple hours before the RNC, when she was supposed to speak, and they pulled her from the list of speakers. So, and then she tweeted basically an apology, basically saying like, you know, I retweeted this without reading every single thing, and, you know, I'm sorry, didn't pay attention to the intent of the whole thing. It's not a reflection of my own personal opinions or whatever, you know, standard PR bullshit. So I thought that was amusing. But the big news with QAnon is basically 8chan's been trolling the whole fucking country for the past 4 years, which is hilarious to me. So the QMap Pub website, which is like basically the biggest Q drop compendium out there.
Yeah, it's basically to explain it, it's basically like an index. That way you don't have to go searching through fucking 8chan or like the old 4chan threads, because, you know, with chance, things get deleted ever so often. So this is basically like a index, a table of contents for Q.
Yep. Yeah. And people have been trying to, you know, track who the fuck owns this shit, who the fuck runs it, who's involved. And finally, they IP traced back to the owner of 8chan, who is Jim Watkins. It was like his shell company or something, right? But it directly links back to him. And it's really interesting. I didn't know too much about Jim Watkins until I looked into it after this news dropped. And apparently he helped to start the Disarm the Deets. Wow, I'm having a hard time fucking talking tonight.
Well, he helped start the Disarm the Deep State PAC to support congressional candidates who believed in Q. If you haven't noticed, that there's been a rise of a lot of Q believers coming into, or at least trying to get into Congress. And unfortunately, a lot of them will make it because they're running in very, very deep red deep red districts and states.
Yep. Yeah, and we'll do a full lineup of who won their fucking districts, which Q-tards got their shit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he helped start up that pack, and that pack basically is centered around boosting up these candidates. And funny enough, it was actually a big scam. Who would have thought? So he took, I don't know how much money, but he took money from the pack and used it to pay for advertisements that he ran on 8chan.
Yeah. So
he's just siphoning
QAnon. He's just siphoning QAnon money to his own pockets.
Yep, exactly. It's fucking, the irony is incredible. And he's also been on some far right wing media outlets. One of the ones I caught was One American News Network, which, I don't know if you remember, but Trump has been trying to boost OAN for a long time, trying to really make them take off and take over Fox News or whatever. And basically, it has its own personal media outlet. So it's just hilarious that 8chan, we've been trolled by 8chan for 4 fucking years. I mean, part of me is just like, hats off, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, at what cost?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I guess he's getting a lot of backline deals, especially if he's showing up on fucking OAN, you know?
Yeah. Have you seen the newest Q drop?
I have not, actually. What does it say?
It is watching the DNC, it's a long one, but a tweet I see is watching the DNC last night. I noticed their logo now, where I have seen the uneven star before hiding in plain sight. And they're, of course, are pointing to a pentagram. And that's why. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And the Q drop is one party discusses God, one party discusses darkness, one party promotes God, one party party eliminates God. Symbolism will be their downfall. The great deceivers. When was the last time you witnessed a D party leader being patriotic, exhibiting national pride, love of country? There's much, much more to it, but they're basically saying that the Democrat logo for 2020 is a pentagram.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and if you flip it over, you see it. Like, now that they pointed out, I'm just like, okay, it's a star. It's a star regardless. Yeah. And they're flipping it over. They find, like, the fact that they find ways to just make it, they find things, and they're just like, oh my God, I got it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm seeing it with my own eyes. It must be real.
I got them now.
Hey, that actually, if they're going to go with that line of logic and call the Democrats Satanists because of the one single star in their convention, what about the American flag? How many fucking stars did that have? How many flags were at the RNC?
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, you just like rotate those 90 degrees and it's just like Satan everywhere.
Yeah, Satan everywhere.
Like, Satan has infested the halls of the RNC.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if they eventually believe that Satan is, like, in the RNC. And that's why, like, there's so much I can say about Q. And as a person that, you know, loves conspiracies, don't believe in a lot of them, but there's so much in it. Like, they've basically hodgepodged every single crazy conspiracy, and at the end of it, all of these issues can be solved by one fucking person, Donald Trump.
Yep, and that's it. And this goes for the entire world, too.
For the entire world. And that's where they lose me. It's just like, there's no way that a former game show host that bankrupted casinos is going to be the one to unravel it all. That's where you lose me. Completely. Yeah,
you got to pick a better candidate. I mean, if you were to pick someone like... hell, I don't know.
I don't think anybody. I don't think, honestly, anybody to me, I'd be like, there's no way that this one person is going to unravel this entire satanic cabal that, you know, has energy weapons in the Vatican, or, you know, has weather control machines in Wisconsin, or like staging protests everywhere. There's no way. There's no way that, like, one person in any centralized position of power was going to be able to do that. So that's where you lose me completely.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's like a Deus Ex situation where like you merge the man and the machine, and then it's just like this all powerful omniscient being that can do anything. But
I would find that parameter acceptable.
Yes, but there are two. The QAnon people are too much of Luddites to really like.
Like the people, the biggest believers in Q are like boomers.
Yep.
So how the fuck are they going to take down a digital satanic cabal down? They can't even operate their goddamn iPhones correctly.
They can't. I mean, maybe they'll just like nationalize Google and take it over, and then just destroy all the data banks, and like that solves the problem. Then we all go back to our farms, plowing fields for the rest of existence. Like, I guess that's how the universe ends.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
That good old traditionalist lifestyle that we all need.
Yeah. Pull yourself up by your literal bootstraps, then.
Yep.
Try not to die a fucking famine because of, you know, global like warming, climate change, destroying everything.
Yep. And I guess at that point, like hydroponics wouldn't really
be a viable option.
There's no, that's technology.
Yeah, no technology there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. They're so stupid.
It's incredible. I was like trying to figure out who the hell is behind QAnon for the longest time. And I'm just like, I was overthinking it. I was really overthinking it.
Who did you think it was?
Like, honestly, I didn't know, but there's only so many people that it could have been, like, given the parameters, right? So, like, you've got to manage, whoever's doing it has to manage, like, this insanely intricate web of every conspiracy theory available to mankind and to consolidate it somehow. So you need access to all of that information, and then you need the time on your hands to do all of this and compile everything in a, you know, mostly coherent fashion. Not saying QAnon is coherent, because it's not, but, you know, at least organize it.
Yeah.
And then so but if you had like 24/7 to do that, either you'd have to be making money off of it, or you would just have to be like a trust fund baby or something.
Yeah.
Or you're like paid to do this.
Yeah.
Right. So who would actually get paid to do this? Well, if it's like a conspiracy theory directly aimed at helping Trump, could be one of Trump's, you know, business buddies, or, you know, an agent of theirs or something. Right. Mm. But I mean, it's just like, it's overcomplicated, because all you just need is just access to all the conspiracy theories, and they're all posted on fucking 8chan and 4chan. So CEO of that company, boom, there you go. I was overthinking it.
I don't know either.
Just like, I think I just foreheaded myself.
Yeah. Like, Watkins made the most sense to me. And for a while, I thought it was like multiple people. I've heard so many theories about like a lot of different MAGA trolls that were capable of, you know, getting this to take off the ground. And I feel like it was either Watkins the whole time, or Watkins just took over. The original Q just dropped off and was just like, I'm bored with this. Yeah. And then Watkins was just like, I'm making, like, this is bringing eyeballs to my site. So let's keep it going.
Mm-hmm. The good old profit motive.
Yeah. And, you know, he's clearly profiting off of it somehow. Like what you said, is funneling money back in to running ads on his own website.
Uh-huh. And then, yeah, that's just one way. Oh, that was the best part, when it was just like, you know, you expect some money laundering and siphoning, but to pay for your advertise, like, really?
Yeah, basically giving himself money. Like, no, you know, the thing is like, most of the people, like, I highly doubt that there's a lot of boomers going on to 8chan to read the initial. I'm sure there are. But what happens is, it's kind of an ecosystem, is it drops on 8chan, and then it drops on QMAP, and then it spreads from there.
Yeah, exactly. QMAP is the big hub for all of that. Yeah, it's just so, I don't know what comes next of it. I mean, I hope it just, I mean, of course, you know, the Q people are, who are so bought into it, they're not gonna acknowledge it. They're gonna call it fake. And already QMAP's trying to change their IP addresses. Oh, it was also linked to some like Russian crime shit.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So, you know, Jim Watkins is in like fucking neck deep in all of this international conspiracy shit, right?
Yeah.
Playing the Russians, playing America. Damn.
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, unfortunately for that, is a lot of people will be like, you'll see a lot of Democrats jumping on and being like, see, the Russians are involved in everything. And I'm just like, my, like, you know, my stance on the Russia stuff is that Do I think Russia's out there causing disinformation? Yes, just as much as America's causing disinformation on other social media platforms for other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all the big players are doing the
exact it's nothing special. Do I think that's the reason why Hillary Clinton lost in 2016? No. No, I don't.
No. There's
so many other little reasons why. That Russia was just one thing, but the Democrats, who can't accept that they lost to a game show host, just scream Russia all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty damaging to your ego. So, I mean,
I understand why they do it, but it doesn't make the fact that they've continued to do it and try to base so many investigations off of Russia just to try to unseat Trump, and they all fail miserably, should tell you where we're at.
Yep. Yeah, it's a sad state, but
yeah,
you know.
Yep.
We'll see. 2020 continues on.
2020 continues on. I don't know. I don't know how, but here we are.
Somehow, if this is not the end of the timeline, then shit, the next 10 years we're fucked.
Yeah,
we all just die from something, probably aliens.
I mean, that's always my end game. When everybody's just like, what else can fucking happen? I'm like, aliens, dude. I'm telling you, aliens. And like, my other passion outside of, you know, talking politics is talking aliens.
Yep. Fucking aliens, man. They're out there.
They're fucking out there. Just accept it. All right. You got anything else?
I do not.
All right.
Usual closings.
All right. So, usual closings. If you like what you hear, subscribe to whatever podcast platform you use. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher even. We're everywhere. So, give us a subscribe. And give us some good ratings on Apple Podcast, because it helps people find the show. Tell your friends. And come to AmericanShakedown.com and support us.
Yep. All right. Thanks for... And check us out on Twitter as well.
Yeah. Check us out on Twitter as well. I always forget that one. All right. Have a great night. All right.